worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God, in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Again, verses 21 through 29, Matthew chapter 7. Father, thank you once again for the opportunity for us to be believers who are students of your word, believers who have the privilege of being able to hear from heaven, hear from you every day as we sit at your feet reading and meditating on your word. With every passing day, literally, Lord, help us more and more to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us to be believers who recognize the need for us to be both hearers and doers of your word, and help us to be diligent to follow you as doers of your word. We thank you and we praise you. And Father, we thank you for this season of the year in a special way in which we celebrate fathers and appreciate fathers. Bless all the dads listening today. Anoint them with wisdom and grace, and pour out your mercy mightily upon them everywhere. And more, raise up more and more dads to be godly men that will glorify you in their capacity as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and dads for their families as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we come to you today to praise you, to lift high your name, to exalt you, to magnify you. What a wonderful God you are. What a perfect Father you are to us. We're such rebellious children, but yet you are so merciful and so kind to us and so forgiving. We thank you for that. We thank you for your Son, your precious Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. As you've been listening, you probably are aware of the ongoing project we call the Ten Commandments Project. And, of course, it's getting more and more exciting from my perspective here. As more young people get involved, as more young people choose to write or have a speech that they prepare or share, they are blessing more and more people, and we're getting more young people to join in as well. Once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. If you want information about the Ten Commandments Project and how you can help your children, grandchildren, or young people that you know to get involved, we're glad to send you the information. And specifically the Ten Commandments Speech Contest, the deadline is July 31st, so you still have plenty of time to share a speech and have it videotaped and get it to us so that your young person can get involved as well. We are honored and blessed to have as our phone guest today one of the young people that are participating in the Ten Commandments Project, a young lady named Paris. And that's Pete and the gang. They're excited because they heard that Paris was coming on today, and they're all excited to hear her speech, so we're grateful for that. Paris, how are you today?
I'm doing fine.
That's good. Good to have you on with us today. And we appreciate the fact that you've decided to share a speech and be a part of the Ten Commandments Project then. So remind me, Paris, now, what grade are you going to this year?
The 11th.
You'll be going to the 11th grade. All righty. And What made you decide to get involved with the Ten Commandments speech contest?
Well, I just seen a lot of kids where I said just disobeying their parents, and I just couldn't take it. And I thought by writing the speech and spreading the word about it and telling them why it's an honor to honor your father and mother. And so that's why I wrote the speech.
All right. Well, we appreciate you sharing it. So if you'll take time now to go ahead and share your speech with us. And again, your commandment is, tell us again which commandment your speech is on.
Honor thy father and thy mother.
All right. Go right ahead with your speech.
One of the Ten Commandments that stood out to me is honor thy father and thy mother. This commandment means a lot to me because I have witnessed one of my friends lose their parents. Having parents is a blessing, but seeing kids disobey and treating their parents bad makes me upset. Knowing there's a lot of kids in the world wishing for a father and a mother to love and care for them. Kids don't understand by disobeying there are consequences. In Exodus 20 and 12, it states, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. This statement carries a promise, having a long life on earth. Also, this is a reward for this commandment. We should respect our parents, especially when we argue with them. They do so much for us and is willing to give up anything. That's why I believe this is the reason why God asks us to honor them and why it carries a great promise. Our parents are the first ones to show us God's love. Further, they are the first representation of Jesus on earth. So many kids take advantage of their parents, but they don't come to realize that other kids cannot receive love, care, and wisdom that a parent shares. We should be worthy. Having a father and mother is worthy to be praised. We should seek to honor our parents in much the same way we strive to bring glory to God by our thoughts, words, and actions.
All right. Thank you, Paris. Beautiful speech. Beautiful speech. Thank you again for taking the time to be with us today and sharing your speech. Now, can you tell me, how would you say preparing the speech and sharing it has encouraged you in your relationship with the Lord?
Sharing the speech, it was like I was able to get out my shyness, like get out my shyness state, and it also brought me closer because I can share. I can be able to talk to anybody without sharing because I know God is right by my side. And every time when I read my speech, I just feel the presence of the Lord. And it's just like I can not be afraid to say what I have to say because I know God is with me.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. In what way do you think it's important for other young people, for example, that maybe haven't decided to get involved with a project like this, in what way do you think it would be helpful to them to get involved?
The way you can be helpful, like, you will learn all the commandments, and the good thing about it is, like, I'm happy that I get to share this speech and let other kids know how we can change. So this commandment right here carries a promise having a long life on earth. And we should want a long life on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so kids, I'm encouraging kids who are listening today to go ahead and write your speech because you can get close to the God, and I have by sharing the speech.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Paris, again. I really appreciate you taking the time to be on with us today, and your speech has blessed a bunch of people already as we've had a chance to share. Okay. That's Howard, the heavenly-minded horse. He liked the speech as well. So thank you so much for being with us today, Paris, and keep up the great work. Do you think you're going to try to get a chance to share your speech at your church, too?
Yes, sir, I think so.
Okay, I hope you will then. So, well, thank you, Paris, and you have a blessed day, and we'll look forward to being in touch, okay?
Okay.
All right. Again, Paris is one of our participants in the Ten Commandments Project, and she's just shared her speech on the commandment, honor your father and your mother. And so again, if you're a young person listening and you'd like to get involved with the Ten Commandments Project, simply email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'll be glad to send you the information. And also, if you're a parent or a grandparent or an adult that wants to help other kids get involved, simply email us or you can give us a call at 662-844-5036, extension 381, and ask for me, and we'll be glad to share more information about the project as well. Again, 662-844-5036, extension 381. And we can't get too many children and youth involved in this. So if you have a dozen or so that you know and want to get them involved, just get in touch with us. We're glad to help all that wish to get involved. They can either write their own speech, or they can get help from dad or mom, or they can contact us if they need us to help them with the speech. But we're glad to do any one of these possibilities. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. For the balance of our broadcast today, we're looking specifically at the topic of a lifestyle of boldly putting your faith to work. Again, a lifestyle of boldly putting your faith to work. It is so critically important that we as believers understand that using our faith is very, very important in the life of every believer. And one of the critical reasons as to why that's true is because the Bible lets us know without faith, it's impossible to please God. So no matter what you do or what the lifestyle that you live, if you're not operating in faith, you cannot please God. So it's critically important that we as believers understand that we're to do all that we do in following Christ in a life and a lifestyle of faith. Father, thank you for the opportunity you give us today to be able to read your word and to grow in our understanding of your word as well, and empower us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word, and help us to grow in our understanding of how you can use us to accomplish your work and build your kingdom. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. So as we're looking today at the topic, a lifestyle of boldly putting your faith to work, a very important but a simple truth that I want us to grasp is that one of the most basic and fundamental sides of our life of faith is the life of hearing the Word of God and obeying it. Simply hearing the Word of God and obeying it. That's one of the key and foundational expressions of our faith. To obey the Word of God is to operate in faith. It takes faith to hear and do what God's Word tells us. And so earlier I read from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, specifically reading through verses 21 through 29. And keep in mind, too, this passage that I read, it just has a very important truth that it expresses to us why, through basically a parable, why it's important that we're hearers and doers of God's word. The foundation of all of our life of faith is found in hearing God's word and choosing to obey it. So reading it again, Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended. The floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. We'll pick up there on the other side. Today we're looking at the topic of a lifestyle of boldly putting your faith to work. We'll be right back.
Into the deepness. exhausted all my ways, all my ways, and all the noise begins to fade. It's you, then everything else just falls in line. You, you will always hold this heart of mine. It's you, it's you, Lord, it's you, then everything else just falls in line.
Music of Toby Mac, the song It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, a lifestyle of boldly putting your faith to work, and we're encouraging you to seek to be a believer that is utilizing your faith continually in your life and as a lifestyle as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that without faith it's impossible to please Him. Faith is basically a faith and confidence in the Word of God, and it's expressed through a life of trusting Him and following Him. Reading, again, just starting this passage again, Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 21 again, it tells us, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Verses 21 through 29, Matthew chapter 7. Well, you know, amongst other things, this passage is a very serious passage. And note that it says at the beginning, in verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." In other words, as you listen to the next part, you see a very serious thing taking place. Verse 22 says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" In other words, there will be those people who fully think they're on their way to heaven who won't make it. And one of the issues is a genuine believer is to be a hearer and a doer of God's word, one who reads the word of God and obeys the word of God as a lifestyle. And so even though some of those persons here in this passage had what seemed like the frills of the Christian life, it indicates that, again, their lack of living a lifestyle of obeying God reflected the fact that they didn't have genuine faith in Christ as they should have. And so, is it saying then that some people will miss heaven? Well, again, look at the scripture for itself. God says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So lawless people are people that don't abide by the counsel and the wisdom of God's word. We're called to hear his word and to live in his word. Now, some might think, well, that's a scary thought. You mean somebody who thinks they're saved and will actually miss heaven? Well, I would hope it would be an encouragement to us to recognize that it's a serious thing to know Christ and to follow him. It's a serious thing to read the word of God and to obey it. That's what we're called to do. We're ambassadors for the kingdom of God. And a part of faith is obedience to the word and the spirit of God. So our obedience is very, very important. So obedience to God's word is one form of faith. and one expression of our faith in our lives and our lifestyle as well as believers. And specifically looking once again at the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 11 is sometimes referred to as the Hall of Fame of Faith or the book or the chapter of faith. And so looking at Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to share that. Hebrews 11, starting at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Verses 1 through 40, all of Hebrews chapter 11. Again, that particular chapter is often, may often be referred to as the Hall of Fame of Faith or the Faith chapter. It's a chapter I would challenge and encourage you to read often. And one of the reasons why, one of many reasons why it's a good chapter to read often is because, keep in mind, each person mentioned in this chapter walked a different faith journey. Each one walked a different road and had a different calling on their lives, but they learned to listen to God, to trust God, and to follow God in carrying out the call of God on their lives. And to every believer listening, it's important that you understand you have a unique calling from God as well to fulfill a destiny in God, a will from the Lord. You know, Psalm 139 talks about books, the book about your life. Did you know that before you were created and sent into the world, God had already written a book in heaven about your life, which contained your will and your God-ordained destiny? And as you read His Word, as you pray, as you seek God, as you listen to the Holy Spirit helps you to live out that destiny that's laid out in your book that God wrote about you in heaven before you ever came to the earth. So how closely you follow the Lord is directly connected to how much you connected to how closely you fulfill your God-ordained destiny found in your book that God wrote about you before you were ever born. It's important to know God has a calling upon every one of our lives, and every calling is important, and we fulfill it by faith. Just like in the book of Hebrews, each of these persons listened to God and by God's grace carried out God's call on their lives, you and I are to do the same thing. You know, I've mentioned before, three letters of the word pro remind us of three critical areas of discipleship that are important for all of us that contain what you might call the building blocks of discipleship or the building blocks of the life of a disciple in following the Lord. P refers to our prayer life. Every believer is called to live a life full of vibrant prayer. R refers to reading and studying the Word of God. We're called to be believers who read and meditate on the Word of God every day. O refers to obedience. We're to be obedient to that which God tells us in His Word and by His Spirit. So P-R-O, prayer, reading the Word of God, and obeying the Word of God. Those are the foundational building blocks of the life of every believer in all the world. And as we look at the lives of the different persons listed in Hebrews chapter 11, one of the reasons why it's wise to read and study this book often is because we can learn something important about following God as we look at the life of every person mentioned, every single one. Each of their lives, each of their stories in Scripture has something to teach us. And it's a tool whereby the Holy Spirit can mold and shape us to become more like Christ and help us to fulfill our God-ordained destiny in our own lives as well. So as you look at those, the lives mentioned in Hebrews 11, don't think of them as being nice accounts from Scripture of great things people did. Yes, it's that. But also there's something you can learn about following God by faith in your own life from observing and learning more about that person. There's something you can learn about how to fulfill your own God-ordained destiny as you look and learn from that individual as well. Let us be faithful hearers and doers of God's Word. So I would encourage you regularly read and meditate on Hebrews chapter 11 and consider the lesson or lessons from each person mentioned that can apply and touch your life as well. Father, thank you for the powerful and the blessed and wonderful book of Hebrews chapter 11 specifically, and all the wisdom, the insight, and the understanding we can draw from reading and meditating on your Word. Empower each one of us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your Word, and help us to recognize that the work you've called us to is important, and that we're to trust you by faith to help us to fulfill the God-ordained destiny that you've called us to. Help us to be the faithful hearers and doers you would have us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, again, as we look at God's Word, remember, God's Word, it's a book of faith. In fact, from Genesis to Revelation, the book is about hearing God's Word and trusting and obeying Him. From Genesis to Revelation. So keep in mind, Hebrews 11 is one chapter that in a unique way focuses on the importance of faith. But in reality, the theme and the message, the just shall live by faith, you find it time and time again in the Word of God. And it's actually something God is calling us to live by from Genesis to Revelation. The whole Bible is a book of faith. It's a book of teaching us to hear God's truth and obey it. Remember, truth is always meant to be applied. We don't just learn truths in order to say we know them. Truth is meant to be applied. So we're called to be hearers and doers of God's word. That's one of the great expressions of our faith as we hear and obey the precious and the powerful Word of God. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 is to go into all the world and make disciples. Every believer is called to be involved in the work of evangelism and discipleship. That too should be a part of our life and our lifestyle, a lifestyle of sharing the gospel and a lifestyle of encouraging people to grow and grow strong in their walk with the Lord as well. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic, a lifestyle of boldly putting your faith to work. We'll be right back. Music of Jennifer Meikle. Great God, thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic of a lifestyle of boldly putting your faith to work. God has called every believer to live a lifestyle of faith, a lifestyle of trusting Him, following Him, and obeying Him as well. So as we look at this topic, we were mentioning before the break that the Great Commission as found in Matthew chapter 28 is simple to the point, but it's a very important truth for all believers everywhere to grasp. Matthew 28, starting at verse 18, tells us, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Verses 18 through 20, Matthew chapter 28. So amongst other things, keep in mind, if we're going to be hearers and doers of God's word, which is a very important part of living a lifestyle of faith and obedience, then we need to be involved in the work of the spread of the gospel. We should individually seek to share the gospel as the Lord would have us to, as a lifestyle. You know, carrying gospel tracts with you, giving them out in strategic places as the Lord would have you to, sharing your testimony, telling others how God has answered prayer in your life and how God has worked in your life. Because keep in mind, there are people all around us. Sometimes they live in the same house with us. Sometimes they may be a next-door neighbor. Sometimes it may be a coworker or a fellow student at school. But there are people all around us who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if they never make that step of receiving Christ, sadly, they're on their way to an eternal hell. And that's a sad thought to consider. Yet, the tragedy is, it appears that too many believers don't take that very serious. It's important that we're living a lifestyle of witnessing because Our goal should be to want to take as many people with us to heaven as we possibly can. So seeking to live a lifestyle of being a witness for Christ is very important. A lifestyle also of making disciples, encouraging others to grow in their walk with the Lord. How do we do that? Well, you encourage others in their prayer life. Maybe share resources and encourage them to spend time praying and talking to the Lord every day. Encouraging them to read their Bible, to read the Word of God every day. And sharing how God is working in your life with the goal of encouraging others that they too would grow in their walk with the Lord. But also part of spreading the gospel too is giving of our finances, giving financially to help support the work of both the local church and to support the work of missions and ministry in the world. The fact is, as believers, we're called to be givers. We're called to live a lifestyle of giving generously to the work of the kingdom of God. God's word tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." That's to be a lifestyle of giving of our resources to help the work of the spread of the gospel. It's tragic when you have believers who decide that for whatever reason, they don't want to give tithes and offerings to the work of the Lord, and they give very little to the work of the kingdom. We're in this world to be about the building of God's kingdom. Remember that scripture that I just quoted, Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." The kingdom of God is the will of God, and we're to seek his will continually as a life and a lifestyle. So we're all called to be involved in this work. I think of a related area of ministry and a related area of faith and following God in faith is the whole area of giving specifically. And, you know, to be very honest, this is one of those areas in the lives of believers that sometimes believers are very, very sensitive about that. And, of course, the fact is, the reality is the whole topic of money is sensitive to lots of people. It's been said that the most sensitive nerve in the human body is the one that leads from the pocket, from the heart to the pocketbook. Well, the fact is people are very personal. They see their money, their income as a very personal thing. But keep in mind, you and I are called to worship God with everything we have, including our money and our finances. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, it lays out some important wisdom for believers to listen and live by. Malachi chapter 3, starting at verse 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." Verses 8 through 12, Malachi chapter 3. So amongst other things, this passage is talking about giving tithes and offerings to the Lord. Now, some listening may think, well, who actually is supposed to give tithes? Well, actually, all believers are wise to give tithes and offerings to the Lord. What is a tithe? A tithe is one-tenth of your gross income. And so a wise way to approach this is whenever you get your paycheck, you figure out what 10% is of your gross income. Write that first check to the Lord, to your local church, for example, is a great place to start. Giving tithes and offerings. In other words, don't stop at 10%. Give beyond that as well for the work of the building of God's kingdom. So some believers, for example, may give 10% to their local church and then 10% beyond that to other ministries or other mission work or something along that line. There's a lot of wisdom in doing that kind of thing. Why? Because amongst other things, it's an act of faith. It's letting God know that you trust him. And keep in mind, God will always, always bless us in our giving. You know, this is an area where pastorally, I've seen people challenged all my 45 years as a pastor because for some people, they're afraid to tithe. They think, well, I don't know if I can pay my bills or take care of everything else if I give a tenth of my income. A tenth of my income is a lot of money. Well, keep this in mind. God gave you all of it. And one wonderful way to worship him and express your appreciation is to give tithes and offerings back to him. keep in mind, it's important that you understand God is out to bless you. And one of the things pastorally for years I've sought to preach and teach believers to grasp is you're better off tithing than you would be if you didn't. Because keep in mind, in the kingdom of heaven, the math works different. In the world, 10 minus 1 equals 9. But in the kingdom of God, 10 minus 1 and 1 being the tithe equals 10 plus. Because God always doesn't just give back. He multiplies back when we give as we should as believers. So it's helpful to understand that you're much better off giving tithes and offerings to the Lord than you are in keeping it. Because as Malachi chapter 3 draws this important point out, that when it specifically, notice, it says, you are cursed with a curse because you, verse 9 says, you are cursed with a curse for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So a truth that I like to express to every believer is that God will always bless your finances when you give tithes and offerings faithfully to him. You're always better off giving tithes and offerings to him than you are if you don't, because you're on your own when you don't. It's as if you're saying, God, I can handle my finances. Keep your hands off my money. Well, keep in mind, it's not really your or my money. It really belongs to the Lord. He's giving us a chance to use it, and he wants to observe what kind of stewards we are of what he gives to us. But remember, God doesn't just give back. He multiplies back. One of the reasons why I'm always wanting to encourage believers to give tithes and offerings to the Lord is because all he does is he turns around and multiplies it back to you. And he blesses you more so for it. On the other hand, I've seen down through the years so many times believers, their perspective is, but I'm afraid it won't work. Remember, God will keep his word when no one else will. God always keeps his word. So as believers, we're much better off giving tithes and offerings to the Lord than if we keep them for ourselves. And remember, that's the way God's work, his will, his church, and his kingdom is financed, through the giving of God's people. And the more generous we are, the more generous God multiplies back to us. And scripture tells us, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met, with all it shall be measured to you again. Every believer is called to be a giver. And as we learn to be generous givers, remember, God multiplies back. He allows us to give him the measuring rod for how he multiplies back to us. As we give and give generously, God turns around and multiplies it back. So as we conclude our time of looking at this topic specifically, of a lifestyle of boldly putting your faith to work, remember, we're called to be hearers and doers of God's word. That's true in the area of living a lifestyle of being a witness for Christ. Daily, we're to live a lifestyle of evangelism and also a lifestyle of making disciples as well. That's to be a lifestyle. We're to live a lifestyle of giving. Every believer is to call to give tithes and offerings to the Lord. And remember, God will multiply it back to you. You're better off tithing than if you don't tithe as well. But also, we're to listen to the Holy Spirit about being givers of other things as well. Sometimes the Holy Spirit may tell you, go give that dress or that suit in the closet to so-and-so or to such and such a person. We're called to be willing to give whatever the Lord may call us to give to bless the world around us. But on the other hand, sometimes we're not listening to the voice of God quite like we should. Sometimes the Lord may say, go give that suit or that dress to someone. And then the devil may tell you, you're going to lose 10 pounds and get back in that suit or that dress. Well, the fact is, the devil doesn't want you to be a giver. He doesn't want you to be a blessing to someone else. And he wants you to miss the blessing you would receive by obeying God and planting that gift as a seed. We're all called to be givers. And so living a lifestyle of boldly obeying God's word is a lifestyle of faith. So a lifestyle of boldly putting your faith to work is a life of following Jesus one day at a time, one step at a time. And remember, the most joy-filled and fulfilling life you can possibly live is a life of boldly putting your faith to work and following Jesus Christ. Father, anoint us afresh with the Spirit that would encourage us to be diligent students of your word, and anoint us afresh with the Spirit of obedience. And stir us to be a people who trust you and follow you by faith every day. In Jesus' name, Amen. Well, as usual, we want to end our time inviting anyone who is listening who has never made the step of asking Christ to come into your heart. We want to invite you to do that today. Today is a great and a wonderful day to get saved. It's a great day to commit your life to Christ and to come into the family of God. If you'd like to be saved and to become a part of God's family today, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Or if you wish to pray it as a rededication prayer, we invite you to pray it with us as well. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I have sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you would have me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed the prayer for the first time, we're really hoping to hear from you. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some resources to encourage you in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, if you're wanting more information about the Ten Commandments Project, a bold discipleship project for our children and young people, our children and youth, email us at the same email, jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to share that information. We're encouraging you to get involved and let the Lord use you to bless your children and the children in your community as well. Hope you'll do that. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.